Welcome to Banca IVI's conference call dedicated to the presentation of the 2016 first quarter financial results. We would like to introduce Giovanni Bossi, Banca IVI CEO, and Mara Di Giorgio, Banca IVI's Investor Relations.
Hi, good afternoon. Mara Di Giorgio speaking. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. I hope that everyone has already received our press release and the first quarter report together with the presentation. Otherwise, they are available, all the documents are available already in both languages on the website. I would like to leave the floor to Mr. Bossi for the first part of the call, and then I will detail on the results.
Thank you, Mara. Giovanni Bossi speaking. Good afternoon to everybody. Well, the board of directors just concluded, approved the first quarter results. The results are good. We are happy for this. But there are some points that I want to underline. During this quarter, we closed the history of Banca IVI into the government bond sector. To be honest, we have a small amount of govies that will expire in the third quarter 2016, and even more small amount for the beginning of 2017, half 2017. But what is important for us is to underline that the activity in government bonds, in the government bonds field for Banca IVI so far is closed. And it is important to me to underline this point because, you know, during this period, the attention that the market is paying with reference to the govies is very, very relevant, and it is a pleasure for me to be that we are not involved in this history anymore. This quarter has been the quarter of the extraordinary growth, but very important growth for the regard to DRL results, so the sector of Banca IVI is involved in managing the non-performing loans and the non-performing loans that we buy and manage from other companies, other banks, and we manage. And with this respect, Mara will enter in the details. But what is important to me to underline in this field is that we think that there will be no effect on the Atlante activity on our business. And this is why, because we think that the activity that Atlante will perform will affect the part of the market that is the non-performing loans market that is not working properly. And this is not the case for the consumer unsecured non-performing loans market. It is working properly, worked properly in the past, and probably will go on working properly without any Atlante intervention for the future. So far, we see no reaction from neither on the price side nor on the attitude of the players in order to sell or not the portfolios, and we think that this will go on in the future. Mara, please, with the highlights and the results.
Okay, let's start commenting slide number 2, the highlights. Total net profit was 22 million, minus 16%. As expected and already declared, the decrease is due to the lower interests given by the government bond portfolio. 1 year ago, at the same period, we had 25 million euros of net interest coming from that portfolio. This year, the impact is just 10. So we were able to partially substitute the profit coming the profit that is not coming from the portfolio from core activities. By the way, all core activities were growing in the quarter, and as expected, the lower amount of interest are affecting not only the quarter results, but will affect the entire year profit. Equity is down again, but just because at the end of March we paid €40 million of dividend. Funding has to be shared, divided into different, let's say, areas. The wholesale funding and the retail funding. Retail funding is comprehensive of the current account and the deposit account, which was growing by €300 million totally in the 3 months, mainly on the long, so 3, 4, 5 years time deposits, recording a good, let's say, acceptance by the new customers. Wholesale funding, as we will comment anyway in the following slides, has decreased due to the lower repos that we put in at, let's say, during the last 3 months, according to the lower amount of the government bond portfolios. Loans, as you know, it's a cyclical, let's say, number, this one. The first quarter is the lower, and this is the reason of minus 3.8, okay, as compared to the last year-end. But if we compare the amount of loans 1 year ago and now, so at the end of March 2015 and end of March 2016, the increase really is double digits, 13%, but we will comment during the presentation. Another very, very good, I would say, number that we are reporting during this quarter is the credit quality cost, which in the trade receivables sector recorded 87 basis points, the lowest ever since the beginning of the financial crisis. So as you could remember, okay, we were saying that probably we will staying looking forward at the 100 basis points. This is really a result that was even not expected by ourselves. But we will go further in detail during the provision slide. Okay, let's go to the slide number three. In slide number three, it's represented the net banking income. First thing, net banking income increased by 9.3% as compared to the first quarter 2015. And I would like to point out the amazing increase recorded in the DRL segment. Oh, as said, as stated, all core businesses grew during the period, and the trade receivables sector registered 5% increase, with the turnover increasing by 10%, so double digits, and number of clients increasing high single digits, 6.4%. The thing that I would like to point out here is the fact that the new business that we announced at the end of December, so the involvement in supplying, let's say, the working capital of in the companies working in the multi-utilities sector, has started to give a positive impact in terms of net banking income equal to €2.3 million in the quarter. The pharma, I'm very happy also to say that the pharma business starts to give a very positive numbers, let's say results, after, let's say, the decision taken more than 1 year ago to compete, let's say, very strongly in terms of commercial pricing towards pharma factoring. And I could say the turnover during the quarter increased by over 22%, recording a net banking income increase of almost 6%. Nowadays, the public administration account in terms of total business for 32%, and I would like to remind you that 1 year ago it was at the 27% level. So not only The total business has increased, but pharma, thanks to the aggressive commercial policy that we, adopted, was able to increase by over 5 points on the total. Then, as far as the DRL is concerned, well, results, an amazing result, plus over 200% in terms of net banking income. Positively influenced by a reclassification of to amortization cost of a sizable portion of the portfolio in terms of positions that were not already, let's say, that were at the cost, recorded at the cost level. Due to the finalization, I would say, of the documentary verifications process. Then, and this contributed, so this, let's say, this this contributed for around 6 million euros. Then another good, let's say, action that was taken as far as the legal factory is concerned is that we have started to include in the net banking income legal interest. On positions that we are considering very recoverable, so with a high percentage of possibility to be recovered. Legal positions that up to the first quarter were not really considered in this way, and this is a new, let's say, way in which we are taking action as far as the legal factor is concerned. So another positive, let's say, even looking forward, income. As far as tax receivables, that is increasing, but not as much as the previous year, but I would like to remind you that in the previous year we had some extraordinary operations. And in this quarter, in the tax receivables, it needs to be pointed out that we had very strong cash in. In particular, just with two positions, we recorded a cash in, and that will be seen in the loans position of the segment, a cash in, I was saying, of over 30 million euros. In governance and services, finally, we include the 5 million euros of sales related to Govis that we sold at the beginning of March. And then, as we said, in this number, let's say in the decrease of 74.7%, is included the lower interest rates coming from the remaining portion of the Govis. I'm pleased to say that on the right side of the slide, in the pie chart, you can see a much more normalized, looking forward, breakdown of the net banking income, as compared to the past two years. Trade receivables is 52%, but see, please, the 36% contribution of the DRL. Now, DRL starts to go closer, let's say, equilibrate, I would say, the breakdown of the contribution in terms of businesses. Net result of financial operation. Slide number four. Here I would like just to comment on the provisions. Total provisions for the quarter were 11 million euros. 11 million euros could be break down in terms of segments as following: 5.3 trade receivables, 2.8 DRL, and 2.9, like 3 million, related to Banca Popolare di Vicenza impairment. Trade receivables, 5.3, is lower than the previous year, in which in 2015 it was 5.5, even with a higher total amount of loans delivered, let's say, during the quarter, and we will see. And this decrease, I would say, is consistent with the strong focus in the bank in continuing to monitor the counterpart risk profile on daily basis. 2.8, provisions in the DRL segment, this refers to positions to positions in the portfolio, in the total portfolio, where in the first quarter we recorded trigger events that caused an impairment in accordance to the bank statistical model of evaluation. As far as Banca Popolare di Vicenza, I was think that nothing has to be added. Everyone knows already what is written on the newspaper. Just to point out that we have still, at the moment, so the value at which we have the position in our books is 1.1 million. Okay? So maximum loss for the future quarters possible is 1 million. Okay, no more than that. Slide number 5, net profit, 79 million of net banking income goes to 22 in terms of net profit. Why? Because we had 11 million of provisions, as already commented. We recorded 35.8 million of operative costs. The increase of almost 10 million euros as compared to the first quarter 2015 is mainly due to provisions for risks and administrative expenses due mainly to the growth in the business volumes according to the DRL acquisition of portfolios during the last months. We hired during the first quarter 50 new people in the company, and this is the record, I would say, in the first quarter, 50 people more. We had to record higher cost of collection, okay, and this is one of the reasons, I would say, why in the DRL the expenses grew. And the second one is related to the acquisition of the portfolios and the subsequent activity in terms of commercial information that we need for profiling our debtors. This is, let's say, a direct cost that we spent immediately in the P&L. Of course, the profit will come later. An additional 3.8 provisions, I said, for risks, the 1.6 of which 1.6 is for a tax dispute, and around 2.2 is for the bank resolution plan. Okay, even this year we donate to the Italian banking system 2.2 million euros. Then balance sheet, asset structure, as expected, the total assets decreased, so we are at the level of 4.7 according to the total decrease reported by the government bond portfolio. Where I would like to point out the attention in this slide that is on loans to customers. So as compared to December, we reported a minus 3.8%. And as I said, our first quarter is cyclical, and so this is, let's say, normal as compared to the year end. But just a snapshot as compared to the previous quarter, so the first quarter of 2015. Loans to customers increased by 13%, double digits, 13%. In trade receivables, as compared to first quarter of 2015, we increased by 10%. DRL increased by 160%, and tax receivables decreased by 8% due to the significant cash-in that we already spoke. As far as other financial assets, this has to be related to the portfolio of Italian bonds, and we will comment back on page number 9. Going to the credit quality in detail, or deteriorated assets, slide number 7. Okay, the slide points out two significant things. The first one is that the NPLs stayed at the same level in 2015 and 2016. So end of March and end of December, 31 million euros of NPLs. Unlikely to pay grew, okay, by 10 million euros, but this is related to one condition that at the end of the year was recorded in the bad loans volume area. So we recovered, let's say, a little bit of position. Then in past due exposure, that you see that there is really a jump from 58 million euros in 2015 to 100, okay? This is the effect that you will see even in the future quarters related to the fact that we entered in the business of the multi-utilities, so it's past due receivables due from the public administration that the bank has bought with the outright, let's say, solution. Okay? So according to the new business and according to the, let's say, regulation to the IAS, as much this business is growing, more we will see jump, let's say, a jump in this past due exposure. But this has nothing to do with the real deteriorated assets. This is real business for us, on which in the first quarter we realized over 2 million euros of net banking income. It's a pleasure to point out 88% of coverage ratio, of course, still increasing quarter after quarter. Probably, we will be able to deliver this kind of coverage ratio looking forward. And it's a pleasure to say that the net NPLs on total trade receivables is at the same level of 1.1%. As far as liability structure, very simple. Rendimax and Contomax growing, as we said. So retail funding, strict retail funding growing, wholesale funding decreasing. Repos decreased the activity. This is the slide number 9 on the debt security portfolio in terms of, let's say, dates in which the expiring dates. In by not end of December 2016, by end of the third quarter, so September 2016, 70% of the today government bond value, okay, is going to expire. It's going to expire. Then in December 2017. There will be an additional 25%, and in 2020 there will be peanuts. Okay. Banca IFIS in terms of solidity, as we said, we paid dividends, so the equity changes. Reported a decrease in the net equity at the end of March as compared to December, but the group KPIs in terms of solidity still remains at very high level. So over 13.6% in terms of common tier 1 ratio, over 14% in terms of tier 1 capital ratio, and total own fund capital ratio is at the level of 15%. Okay, now operator, I would like to open the floor to the Q&A section. Operator?
Thank you, Mr. Bossi and Ms. Di Giorgio. We would like now to open the Q&A session. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Christian Carrese from Intermonte. Mr. Carrese, your question, please.
Hello, everybody. Carrese, Intermonte. I have three questions. The first one is on net interest income. Can you give us some details on the evolution in the first quarter? If I understood correctly, you had a one-off of €6 million due to a reclassification of part of the portfolio. So this should be seen as a one-off. So we should, the run rate should be in the area of €54 million. This should be the starting point, or is higher than that? And then on the legal factory, you said that you included some legal interest. What are the, those interests? Are referring to late payment interest, and these are recurrent, so we should expect this contribution also in the following quarters. The second question is on costs. We saw an increase in administrative costs and the personnel in the first quarter. You said that you hired 50 people in the first quarter, so if you can give us a guidance for full year 2016 in terms of cost evolution. And finally, on the capital, I'm referring to slide number 10. You already, those numbers 14.22% are already pro forma to include the dividend payout. So there was, at the end, a drop in terms of Common Equity Tier 1 ratio of around 60 basis points quarter on quarter. So if you can elaborate on that, because I think that risk-weighted assets were almost flat quarter on quarter. So if you can give us some color on that. Thank you.
Start from the net interest income. Net interest income at the end of the first quarter totally were €60.5 million. We include in the interest income, let's say, the €5 million coming, not including, sorry, the €5 million coming from the capital gain, let's say, from the sale, not capital gain, from the sale of the government bond portfolio. So 60.5 is interest income. Then we have commissions, that then we have the profit coming from the sale of the government bond. Okay?
No, it's clear to me. It's clear. I was referring to the reclassification of part of the portfolio, and you had some 6 million additional net interest income in the first quarter. I'm not referring to the Govis portfolio.
So the
classification of the DRL division.
Okay, is for the DRL, that one.
Yes.
Okay, and that has to deal with a number of positions, sizable, in terms of, as compared to the total positions held in the DRL segment, that were not at amortized cost, okay, recorded at amortized cost, but were at historical cost. Why were that? Because this position were suspended, okay, according to the fact that not all formalities were finalized, and so we were not, let's say, in the position, according to IAS, to deliver that positions at the amortized cost. So the jump of 6 million is an accounting, I would say, an accounting, and so we are saying that is not recurrent, that one, okay? An accounting value according to the fact that those positions now are at amortized cost.
So going forward, I should look at net interest income on a recurring basis as €54 million. This should be the starting point.
No, Cristiano. Sorry, Giovanni speaking. The point is that during the first quarter, we released at amortized cost the total amount, the portion of the portfolio. This portion of the portfolio, the releasing, the fact that we released this portfolio, carry a the consequence to put in evidence the amount that Mara explained to you. Starting from the second quarter 2016, we will record the effect of the amortized costs on this portfolio. And and this is not a one-off. This is a recurring effect of the interest from amortized cost that you will see every quarter till the end of the portfolio.
And according to the fact that we are buying portfolios on a continuous basis, Christian, there is a delay gap from the moment in which we buy and the moment in which all formalities according to those positions are okay for being recorded at amortized cost. So the delay period, in the delay period, the positions acquired are always at, let's say, cost.
Historical cost.
It's impossible for everyone. We can reduce, and we are already reducing, of course, the delay time, okay, the lapse of time recorded from the buying, the day of let's say, the buying, and the day in which we record in accounting, for accounting reasons, let's say, at the amortized cost deposition. We are reducing that period, but there will be always a delay period.
Okay, what about the late payment interest or legal?
So that is on, let's say, continuous basis. So that is recurrent. It's just now that we have introduced, let's say, from the beginning of 2016, also on, let's say, legal in the legal factory, on positions that we are that are visible, let's say, that could be repaid, the late legal interest. That by law, those are due.
How much it was the effect in the first quarter?
1.6.
Okay.
Okay. Cost of personnel, we accelerated, let's say, the new entrance, I would say, in the first quarter. We are not expecting 50 new people every single quarter, okay? Already in the second quarter, the acceleration, let's say, the deceleration, I don't know if that is the experience. Anyway, number of people, new staff entered, let's say, in the bank is lower, absolutely lower. Our target is to stay at 40% cost income ratio, as stated already in the past. We can go over 40% only because we are buying more than expected portfolios, and according to the first cost, let's say, that needs to be supported, supplied by the bank, okay, it has to be, let's say, sustained immediately. So according to the acceleration in growth in DRL and according to new portfolios acquired, the 40% cost income ratio could be, let's say, something that we can go over. 45 is something extraordinary anyway. It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And on capital?
And I missed part of your question on capital, Christian. Could you repeat, please?
Yes, I was referring to slide number 10, the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio at 14.22%. Takes already into account the dividend payout you made in March. This is a pro forma or not?
No, the dividend that you see in March are the dividends that the holding company of La Scogliera Group paid in March. This is not our. No, well, there are both our and dividend. The problem is this. We have the Banca Isis group is not based on Banca Isis. It's based on La Scogliera results. La Scogliera is the holding company. La Scogliera has 50% of Banca Isis. So you have to take into consideration both dividends we paid, Banca Isis paid, and 50% of which went to La Scogliera, and then the dividends that La Scogliera paid outside to the shareholders of La Scogliera. And
net of Scogliera dividend, how was the evolution of the Common Equity Tier 1?
At page 21, the Italian version probably the same for the English version, of the relation of the consolidated interim report, you see the at the second paragraph, you see that we state that
at the level of 15. 16.1.
The level of total own fund ratio will be 16.1 at the level of Gruppo Banca IFIS Group. Is it in Italian and in English? Again.
Okay. Don't worry, I can do a follow-up later on, just to understand if there was some capital absorption or not.
Anyway, the level total own fund ratio on a Banca IFIS, sole Banca IFIS level is 16, would be 16.1. But you know, you have to respect the European rules and to formally report the total own fund ratio and all the common equity tier 1 and so on at the Scogliera level. You see the difference between the common equity tier 1 and total own fund ratio that you see on the report is also due to the fact that we passed from 40% of grandfathering till end of 2015 to 60% of grandfathering 2016. You know that this grandfathering will cease completely starting in 2018.
Sure. Perfect.
That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mrs. Simonetta Chiriotti from Mediobanca. Mrs. Chiriotti, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like to have from you, if possible, a more detailed comment on volumes in trade receivable in the three sub-segments of pharma, B2B, and the new multi-utility segment, and in particular to understand roughly which are the volumes in the latter. So how or the level of loans in the multi-utilities segment. And my second question is more on the strategic side. We have read on the paper your involvement in the acquisition of, the presence of your group among the bidders for Interbanca. So if you could comment on these in terms of strategy, so how this group would fit with the current perimeter of Banca IFIS. Thank you.
Thank you, Simonetta. Okay, so as far as the turnover volumes, you said, of the trade receivables, as we said, totally we increased by 10% the total amount of the total amount of trade receivables. In terms of contribution of the Credit Impresa Futuro, so the B2B business, the turnover, it's detailed at page 26 of the report, anyway. Okay, the turnover increased almost a little bit lower than 10%. Okay. As far as the pharma, we said it increased by 22%. In terms of multi-utilities, the turnover, really, I don't have the number, in terms of, net banking income contribution was 2 million. If you are interested in the volumes of the first one, I can tell you later.
We can say that the multi-utility loans correspond to the amount, the growth in the past due, so around 60 million.
Say that again,
no,
please.
40 million, sorry.
Say that again, please.
I'm sorry?
Can you repeat?
Yes. Now, I was wondering if the volumes of loans in the multi-utility segment corresponds to the increase in the past due exposures, so from 58 to 100.
That could be a good indication.
Okay, so around 40 million.
Yes. Okay. As far as your second question, as already said, we are not commenting on that.
Okay.
Next question comes from Mr. Karim Bertoni from Bellevue Asset Management. Mr. Bertoni, you please.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I would have been interested by 2 points. One concerns the cost-income ratio, which was roughly at 45% during the quarter. You mentioned that there were some reasons for that, including personal expense increases and so on. I was interested, as you mentioned also, that your target is to go to stay at roughly 40%. When could we expect reasonably the figures to go down to 40% again? And secondly, if you could explain a bit more, as you mentioned earlier on during the call, the Atalante creation, why it does not affect your segment of business, if you can emphasize that a bit more to make it clear.
Thank you, Karim. Okay, so 45% cost income ratio at the end of the first quarter, 31st of March. We said that there are some extraordinary there, provisions for risks, for example, okay, which are not expected to be, of course, repeated, recorded again, second, third, and fourth quarter. So I would expect that the cost-income ratio could decline quarter after quarter, and our target remains by year-end in the range of 40%.
When you say 40%, it would be on the last quarter of the year or for the full year?
No, on the year, the cost recorded for the 12 months on the income recorded on the 12 months.
So it would be for 2016 then, if I understand.
Correct. As far as Fondo Atlante is concerned, we reading what is on newspaper and the regulation and looking at our experience in the last even weeks or months, let's say, when after GACS an additional instrument was expected to be released in the market. Okay, so on one side in the regulation is said that, Fondo Atlante could operate in the securitization in all the three levels, so senior, junior and mezzanine, let's say, but is expected to be operative in the area where risk is higher, so junior. Related to that consideration on one side, and on the other, on the fact that in the NPL market, 82% of the net NPL is still blocked, let's say, is not liquid in the corporate and real estate, so on the secure part, let's say. Probably that will be the area where Atlante has to focus, let's say, its initiatives for making the market moving and be more liquid. So with expected returns in the area of 6%. So it means that the prices at which market today wants to buy, let's say, those NPLs are not aligned to investors, let's say, expectations. On the other side, there is the market where we operate, where we continue to, not only we, but originators on our side are selling in the first origination or in the secondary market, and there are operators like ourselves that are buying NPLs on continuous basis. it's still, let's say, 3 years that the market is moving, is liquid, and is increasing the liquidity because the number of executions and the trades done are increasing year after year. So it will be a nonsense, okay, for Atlante to operate in a market which is working.
Mm-hmm.
It has already resources, let's say, not large resources as expected. So the total up to now, according to newspapers, the total, let's say, money that banks and financial system has given to Atlante is lower than the expected 6 billion, in the range of 4 billion. And 75% of that has to be devoted to IPOs, let's say, or of at least the two banks that nowadays are going to be in the market, or one is already in the market, let's say, as IPO. 25%, 30% has to be devoted to NPLs. What do you expect? That is going to be, let's say, focused on the part of the market that is already liquid, or in the part of the market where returns at the moment are possible and likely for in the range of 6%. And no foreigner, no financial investor, no industrial investor is expected to has expectations at that range level. It's just, you know, on one side, let's say, what we see and what we read. On the other, what we are really experimenting during these days. The market has not stopped. The unsecured NPL market, consumer credit, has not stopped, has not blocked. Prices has not moved. So this is what we can say at the moment.
Karim, a small piece of information. You have to consider that so far, what Atlante is going to be, is going to perform, the activity of Atlante is to buy junior tranches of securitization programs, the senior tranches of which received the guarantee, the public guarantee. It is quite unrealistic so far to imagine that you can organize a securitization program with the public guarantee using as a collateral, as a collateral consumer unsecured receivables completely unsecured. The first evidence we have so far is that the Italian banks that are thinking or that are organizing securitization programs aimed to reach the public guarantee are using real estate guaranteed receivables. And we are active in the total opposite market, that is the completely unsecured market. So even the first evidences are moving in this direction. We think, just to add this point to what I told you half an hour ago, and Mara just said to you. So to me it seems unrealistic to imagine a securitization program with the public guarantee, the junior tranche of which will be bought by Atlante.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Karim. Operator?
There are no questions at the moment.
Okay, so I would like to thank you everyone for the interest in the conference call and for the questions. We look forward to have you on our second quarter conference call. Thanks.
Thank you.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.